There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to blast him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Hated every minute of it.
Happy Friday. A late start for us. And the Sabres, or early start.
Sorry, I wasn't waiting for you because we're late.
Hello?
With that time crunch, so I'm just rushing. I hated every minute of it.
Of the open? Of the post-game show? Of the game?
No, of this show.
No.
They were nervous?
I know.
What?
I don't know. You probably know a band that's played Prague.
Maybe
that's relatable.
It was just that... One of 82, another one tomorrow. I know. It was just...
They'll win tomorrow.
Sure they will. Yeah. I hated it. I hated it. I hated the explanation. I hated it. I hated all of it. Just nothing good to start that game. I don't want to... Sure, they played better in the third period. The Devils were just nursing a lead into the garage and right. I think we all seen that movie a million times. So, I felt like it was a no-show. It's a no-show. And I don't know where does that come from to start the season? I mean, they were just back on their heels and not initiating anything at all and late to everything to start the game. And
not what you want.
No. Not with, you know, oh, we got high energy bottom six now, and we're ready to make teams pay, and they're going to get worn out. And the game started, it was just in the Sabres' end, and that was it. Power play was disjointed and terrible. The goalie had a terrible day. And I'm not even talking about the goals. He was just all over the place. He looked like he looked 2 years ago, Luukkonen. I was really disappointed. Who was I talking to yesterday about him? Oh, Sal, on Sal's YouTube thing I did last night with him. He asked me about Luukkonen because he said, I really like Levi a lot, and now Lukanen's kind of in the way. And I said, I really like Luukkonen because technically he's very buttoned up. He's just in the right spots all the time. I think technically, with the little that I gleaned after all the years of listening to guys talk to Owen and talking to Owen himself, all right, I think I've got a guy I can really count on here. And he looked a mess to me. He was overplaying things late to get to posts and stuff.
He got his steps in today. Luukkonen, he got his steps in.
I didn't like him. I didn't like them. I didn't like the power play. I didn't like we're nervous. I mean, just a very disappointing start to the season.
I wonder about Thompson. Like, I want to start with him. With this team, I don't have questions about Dahlin, his ability, his pedigree, leadership. He's the captain. He made a lot of nice plays in this game, I thought. Thompson, it's a new season for him. There should be no injury crutch, right, this time? And he's coming off, well, 2 years ago now, that was absolutely shockingly good. And it was almost hard to believe, right? So here are the Sabres, who it looks like they've got a star in the fold. And I don't know, last year was okay. And this game, I mean, every time I saw him, he was standing in the right in front of the goalie in the defensive zone, kind of waiting for the play to come to him. And he had a miss early, maybe two, in the first period, where, like, that's who Lindy, I think, is thinking about. Not just him, necessarily,
sure.
But need to finish. Our guys need to finish our chances.
And he did go down the runway for a bit there.
Yeah.
And so, right, there was that already. Like, oh.
Came right back.
Yeah, he did come right back. So,
I just don't know exactly where I'm supposed to set the bar.
With him?
Yes.
Somewhere between last year and 2 years ago, I think.
Last year is like, it's got to be the floor, right?
Yes. Yes. If last year is what he is, then he's not a number one center.
It's not a steal anymore.
No. It's like you're hoping for a little more all the time. 2 years ago, the contract looked like the greatest thing that ever happened. The way he played 2 years ago. I mean, we were talking.
Mario.
First time we talked about him that season, you brought up Mario Lemieux, and I made a sound like, I don't know if we can do that, but it was appropriate.
But then Wyshynski came on and said the same thing, so I felt okay.
Yeah, that totally solidified it. But man, yeah, I don't know what. Just, it's a very disappointing start to the season. And I don't know. Should I not be upset about hearing about nerves? I mean, they got to say something about why they looked so bad to start the game. And it's possible Ruff is right, but that would make me insane.
I feel like there's no good explanation. You might want to find the one you think that just passes the test the best. Because, like, I've always thought in hockey, when you're confused and unsure, that can look like you're tight. If you just don't know where you're supposed to be, you're not sort of on it. And that's what the first period looked like. Just all kinds of open guys in their own end and not much happening in the other end, which is, I don't know, maybe it doesn't make sense to you that they would be nervous. And I don't want to think they were either. So it's something else.
Yeah.
And just maybe there was like a, I'm not sure if I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's also, even though it's a new head coach, it's a team that's played together. You know, most of it anyway. So you would think they wouldn't exactly have that problem.
Yeah, at least the top two lines. I mean, the bottom two lines are very new. The D pairs are all pretty familiar. Byram's still relatively new. Didn't play 20 games with them last year.
It was more the top line for me than anybody else.
Yeah, but the slow start thing, considering this team's reputation that's very well earned for, you know, home games where you're not even to the first TV timeout and it's 2-0, you're down. Like they've had that scenario play out numerous times over the last couple of seasons here, and especially last year. So to come out tentatively, that seems like the last thing a team with a new coach that's going to hold everyone accountable would be guilty of is being tentative to start this game, knowing that the maybe the thing that tripped you up more than anything else last year was the first 10 minutes of games. And you're going to come out and kind of put the same show on the floor? That blows my mind. I mean, you're nervous. Get over it. You're a pro hockey player. This is the first game of the year. Let's go. Have some confidence. Have some swagger. Have some something, some substance to your game. It just looked like any old game from last January to me.
Best thing about it was that it wasn't a home game.
Right.
I was watching it with coworkers across the street, and that was my take. Like, middle of the second period. The only thing that would be worse about this is if it were in the building.
And they're getting booed.
And people are just, you know, talking to each other instead of just talking to each other online about, like, here we go again. You know, you don't want to do that with one game, but, yeah, not the way you want it to start. Well, it's over, and it's Football Friday. We'll talk to Sal at 5. We'll shift into Bills Texans, and even before that, Sam Panayotovic will join us to give us his take on Week 5, Buffalo, Houston, and more. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. We'll have time for calls in and out between guests. We'll have picks later as well. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. It is time for a break. We'll be back in a snap with Sam. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
I think he got a bad rap, you know, just by the media and, like, by people. I mean, he's not been nothing but just amazing to this team and to his teammates. He's helped me out a ton, and, you know, as you can see, we're clicking more and more every game. So very happy for him and glad that, you know, he's finally, you know, having fun playing the game and doing what he loves to do because he loves football a lot. So, you know, just really, really happy to be, you know, a part of his journey and, like, just being around him has been real awesome.
C.J. Stroud on Stephon Diggs. I'm not sure I need his take, but we've got it. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog Football Friday. On the line is the host of BetQL Daily at Odyssey Sports, BetQL Insider, Sam Panayotovic. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. And be sure to listen to the BetQL Daily podcast with Sam and Joe Ostrowski. For more analysis, just search BetQL Daily wherever you find your podcasts. Hopefully, Sam found his way to a Devils alternate line -2.5 play this afternoon. I don't know. Do you bet hockey, Sam?
Not in the preseason. I mean, I have limits, guys. You got to have limits in this thing.
Well, this was a regular season game, even though there are still preseason games going on. This game was played in Prague, so the Sabres are playing the Devils in the global series, they call it. These are the first two regular season games of the year, and then, yeah, other teams are going to be playing preseason games tomorrow.
So, do not, I hope you don't, blame yourself, because my Twitter is loaded with people like, hockey started.
Right.
So great job, NHL, if that's not unfair.
I just don't understand how they could start it leading into a very big jam-packed weekend of football. I do apologize to the diehards out there that were listening to the game on the radio, though. I mean, diehard fans listening to a Friday afternoon game in Prague, that's awesome. Game did go under the total. I was actually looking as I was listening to the update there. I mean, can they make the playoffs this year? The market obviously says they're big dogs to do it, but I can get +180 if the Sabres, you know, can tread water, maybe make a move at the deadline and make a playoff push. Is that a dumb idea at +180?
You know,
it's a tough question to ask me right now.
No, it's not. It should never be considered dumb in hockey, I think, no matter almost who you are. But, I mean, fans here, Sam, we're not all the same, but it's been 14 years. How hard should it be for a hockey team to make the playoffs once in a decade? But so, like, just objectively, yeah, maybe. They're just outside, I think, projections-wise.
Yeah.
But it's just been so long, and they play one game. I wonder how you were feeling having me text you, like, yeah, we got a hockey game today and a post-game show. Like, wow, what is going on up there? Preseason? Right. They're taking it seriously up there. Yeah. But no, again, it was a regular season opener.
And don't ask me to judge your betting plan with the Sabres in the playoffs. You're hearing from a person who last year bet Tage Thompson to get a hat trick and the Sabres to win on the money line 60 times before it finally hit. but I turned. I listen. Laugh all you want. I turned like a $1,400 profit on that. As it turned out, once it finally happened, I got paid and then some. So
that's a long game.
I started again today. I mean, you got to have the money to invest, right? To lose until March, but baby, when it comes, it comes.
I'm not laughing at your strategy. I'm laughing at your stick-to-itiveness. I mean, that is a man with a plan, never wavered, and you're right. It only takes one. If you're going to wheel a hat trick and other things together, it really only takes one. And you know, like, we've seen guys, you know, I'm out in Boston, but I grew up in Chicago, and there were times when I was, man, I mean, this would have been 2009, 2010, so I'm in my early 20s, and there was a game, I don't even know how much I was down with the bookie, maybe like $800 or whatever. And I asked him, I shot him a text, I go, what can I get for a Patrick Kane hat trick? And he's like, yeah, 70-1. So I go, give me 100 on it. Made $7,000 just luckily hitting that bet. So I feel you, and I didn't have the money to do it every single game, but right. that's a hell of a wager, man.
Yeah, time it right, you don't need all that money. Just
right.
pick the right game and you're home.
Right.
Nice. All right, Sam, let's get to Bills Texans. We read you at Fox Sports on this game yesterday, and you know, you start by talking to, was it Adam Chernoff, I think, how he's like, yep. Yeah, I don't know, it's sort of ping-ponged back and forth, Bills and Texans, a point either way. And to my eyes, that happened yet again today, going over to Houston -1 at BetMGM. I don't know if that's Shakir and Oliver being out or just what. We're not to Sunday yet, but as of now, how do you see this game?
So I'm more on the Buffalo side of things, and I'm not just playing to your crowd. I did a story in the offseason about how I thought the Houston Texans were one of the most overvalued teams in the league, and I actually bet them to miss the playoffs. Now, I don't know that that's going to be the greatest prediction because the division around them kind of blows. And Richardson's already hurt. We might see Flacco again, which I don't think is a long-term situation. Obviously not longer than this year. And the Jags have no wins, and the Titans have Will Levis. So it's maybe not the best bet. I mean, Houston could win that division with 9 or 10. So all that said, you know, the Houston Texans have not covered a football game this year, guys. And, you know, I learned in Vegas a long time ago when I lived there, good teams win, great teams cover. I was in Houston when the Bears played the Texans, and as bad as the Bears were in Caleb Williams' first road start, he was an F-. The Bears got the ball down 6 with a chance to win the game. So this team has not been impressive. They can't run the ball. And I think, you know, those of you that are listening now that are nervous about Buffalo because of what happened on Sunday night, just understand the pro bettors and the ones that are really good at this, they don't give a damn about one game. They don't look at one island result and think, oh, that team is that. In reality, Baltimore is physical. They run down your throat, and that's what they did. But that's not how Houston plays. Houston's going to drop back. Stroud's going to throw the ball 35, 40 times, and he's going to try and pick off your corners. And if he does it well, Houston's going to win. If he doesn't, Buffalo's going to win. To me, it's that simple. If you can negate Stroud and pressure him and force him into bad throws like Minnesota did, you're going to win the game. I like Buffalo. I bet a little +1 myself. I know Chernoff kind of copped out. He's like, oh, it's a point flip. I'm like, yeah, sweet. Pro better, you nerd. I like Buffalo. I think Buffalo's going to win the game. And it's more because I'm high on Buffalo's ceiling, and I'm just not there on Houston yet. I have not been impressed, guys.
Yeah, you and I are going to be fast friends, Sam, because all summer here, we do this thing on Tuesdays, reverse AFC power rankings, and the Texans were like in the top 5 all summer long, and almost every week without fail, I would say, I don't know, their point differential was only like +30. Who did they really beat? They beat the Bengals when the Bengals were right, when they were good. Other than that, it's like Jacksonville and Indy, and like they you know, it wasn't that impressive a season, really, in the end. It ended well for them with the big playoff win when they picked off Joe Flacco, speaking of Flacco, twice for pick sixes, but
they beat the Saints. You're leaving that out.
I thought it was a little quick, sorry. I thought it was a little quick to, like, anoint them as part of, like, the top tier.
Well, and I know I probably shouldn't say this because he's my teammate at Fox, but I was looking at Tom Brady's power rankings, and I almost fell out of my chair. I'm like, is this guy serious right now? His power rankings in the NFL as of yesterday afternoon, Kansas City 1, Minnesota 2, which is not true, Houston 3, Detroit 4, Tampa 5. I'm surprised the Patriots aren't in the top five.
That's funny. Sam Paniatovich with us. I wanted to ask you, we had Joe on yesterday, Joe Ostrowski, and he just slipped in that you like the Bucs. And so I play pretty seriously in fantasy football, and there are times, Sam, when I'm just like, why do I do this? You know, injuries and randomness, just you feel like you were right and you just weren't. And if I were a serious bettor, that would be a game like that for me. It's not like they dominated, but they had it, you know? And you know how, like, one little thing can just sort of beat you. Even the coin flip, arguably, in this. I don't know. Are you good at rolling with beats like that? Or do you never, are you never able to do that? How does it work for you?
I learned how to lose a long time ago. And that might sound weird, but you have to know how to lose and just move on. I mean, 10 years ago when I wasn't good at this, I would lose a baseball game in the afternoon on a Thursday. I'd have a 3-run lead going into the ninth. I'd lose the game in the ninth, 7-6 or whatever, and then I would just go crazy on the night slate. But I'm not betting with information. I'm betting because I'm on tilt. And you have to avoid that.
Yeah.
You have to put your phone away after a bad loss. And look, I like to have a couple whiskeys when I watch the games too. So that's a very lethal combo if you are not responsible and you have that Buccaneers side last night, +2, +1.5. They got the ball with a minute to go and a lead. You win that game 9 times out of 10, but that's the NFL, guys. That's college football. That's gambling. That's why we do it. But, you know, at the heart of every good gambler is discipline and reservation when things go south. And honestly, that's the hardest thing to tackle when you start betting these games.
I don't want to run away from football, but I want to ask you how the Mets thing worked for you last night and, like, what kind of reaction that got in your world.
So, I mean, the Mets were anywhere from 15 to 20 to 1 to win the game live when they're down 2-0. I didn't have a single dollar on the game. I had Royals in the first two games. I don't bet a lot of postseason baseball. I just like dogs at good prices.
Mm-hmm.
I did not get involved, but I would be lying if I said I wasn't tracking the game. So Alonso is at the plate. The number came down a little bit, but going into the ninth inning with the Brewers up, I believe, 2-0,
yep,
you could have bet the Mets. MGM had 15-1. There was an offshore shop at 20-1, and I did not get involved, nor did I even think about it. But those are the numerical edges, if you will. If you were to get involved on the Mets and bet 100 down 2-0, you came out 1500 clear, and that's pretty crazy because I don't think a lot of people saw it happening. I was looking at the freezing cold takes last night. How many people in New York were just ready to put Pete Alonso on a plane and send him to planet, you know, Neptune or whatever, and he hits the 3-run homer. So it was a cool thing to see, and I know those Mets fans have been tortured forever.
I was watching the NFL. If I remember right, the Met game ended after? Could that be possible? The football game started later. Maybe that's wrong.
No, it did not end. Yeah.
I checked online in the middle of the night, or, like, you know, the middle of the evening, and I just saw a bunch of RIP Mets. And, like, okay, well, it must be bad. If it's not over, at least it's bad. And it was never bad.
Right, it was only 2-0.
It was never that bad.
Yeah.
Right, 2-0. So, you know, good job. Sam, we know you know the college game. Tomorrow, I see Michigan, Washington, maybe as the headliner or one of them. Where is your head at?
So I know some sharp guys that like Washington a lot, and this number has sort of bounced around a little bit. It's never really gotten to the field goal. It's 1.5 now at BetMGM. You know, Michigan hasn't been on the road in a month, and I still don't think their coach is that good. So I lean to Washington, but it's not one of my favorites. I think Miami tomorrow is going to roll into Berkeley and beat the snot out of Cal. I've followed Mario a long time, Mario Cristobal, their head coach, and that game on Friday against Va Tech that they squeaked out with a win, that's a game that he's lost throughout his entire career, dating back to Oregon and also the last couple of years at Miami. I'm being told that
there's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling. Come on, move! You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The locker room was basically euphoric after that win, where they escaped with a last-second Hail Mary negation at the end. And they have been foaming at the mouth to play since Saturday night. Cal's okay. I think Miami is top five, top six good. So I'm laying the 10 and a half with Miami. That's a late game. You guys might be in bed by the time it ends. But I think Miami's going to win like 38-17. I think they come out just ready to roll after that huge win. And now those guys start to believe. And now guess what? They're focused because they realize they can't look past anybody in the country.
How about an NFL best bet that isn't the Bills game, please?
Oh, people are going to hate this one, but that's okay. I gave the Bears last week. Jaden Daniels is an awesome player, guys. He is maybe the story of the NFL quarterback room so far. But the Commanders as a three-point favorite with the league's worst defense, it will never be me. It won't be popular, but that's how you bet the NFL. I took 3 and 3.5 with the Cleveland Browns, who have a healthy offensive line maybe for the first time all season. And they are the best defense that Jaden Daniels will have faced to this point. Nobody wants to bet it, and that's why I bet it. Cleveland.
I like your style. Very good. Sam, thanks. And thanks for being flexible with us today with the late start. We will talk to you next Friday.
Of course, guys. See you next week.
Yep. That was the host of BetQL Daily, Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider, Sam Panayotovic. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. We have our picks at 6. I see the Browns at 3.5. Washington, Miami, I'll consider it.
I'm already on that Miami game.
Everybody likes Miami. Like all season, it's been
the quarterback.
Miami.
The quarterback looks great. Cam Ward. Tough name for us, but like he looks fantastic.
Oh wow! Who's the running back? Michelle Goulet. Could go on all day, but we won't. Sal coming up at 5. Football Friday on WGR continues. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. We'll be right back. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Football Friday. Sal Capaccio coming up in 15 minutes. No Ed Oliver or Khalil Shakir in this game. Let's talk about each, and we'll do so with Sal also. Oliver was hurt at practice. We talked to Sal about that yesterday, and it seemed maybe it would be okay because the small part of practice that the media gets to see, Oliver returned from his injury to some extent. He was didn't just leave and never come back, but he could have left again, and we don't know the severity. We do know Sean McDermott this morning ruled him out for this game, so not even like a close call.
Ruled him out for this game and even somewhat cryptically, excuse me, indicated, like, I'm not sure what kind of timeline we're dealing with there. So, that I mean, that could be something.
That's usually the case with a hamstring, you know. A practice injury, too, it's a bad sign.
Yeah.
So, we'll see on that. Shakir has been out of practice, well, away from practice all week, and won't play either. Which loss is bigger?
I feel like Shakir is the bigger loss. I feel like he's become the yeah, I mean, nobody's really a king there yet, but he's the guy that I feel like is tracking toward that. And I think just plugging someone else into that spot, I'm just not assuming I'm going to get similar production from Curtis Samuel or whomever you plug in there. So. Yeah, I feel like Oliver playing at a really high level is a big loss. I don't think we're really seeing that so far this year. He's been pretty non-existent to my eyes in most reviews I'm reading, of people, breaking down tape and really getting into it. That doesn't mean at some point he wouldn't have some big impactful plays. He did make a big play in the Miami game. And it's like a homecoming game for him. Too, right? He's from that area. I know at the college there. Yep. Mm-hmm. So, if you were hoping to see him show some signs of last year's at Oliver, maybe going home to Houston to play would have been a spot. So maybe in that respect, it's a little more damaging. Not to say it's not damaging at all, but bigger deal to me is Shakir.
What would you want to see them do without him? Do you just put Samuel there?
I think so. And look, maybe that works. Maybe that's, we finally have a day where we're like, oh, thank God this team got Curtis Samuel, got him here as a free agent, because he hasn't really, we talked some about this yesterday. I think he's barely been Isaiah McKenzie so far for them. And that's not what I think I had in mind when they signed him for, it's not a mind-boggling contract, but by their standard, I mean, $8 million a year is, hearty. Like, I feel like that's indicative that you're going to have a plan to really use this guy kind of all over the place. And it just has not been that at all. So, I don't know, maybe this is a chance for him to sort of get airborne as a Bill. If he is comfortable there and Allen can get to him, maybe that'll get him off and get him rolling here. But I feel like Shakir does a lot for them after the catch. And this is a game that I might anticipate, you might need to get to 30 to win this game. So not having him, I think, is a pretty big deal.
Me too. The Bills will want to run the ball because that's how they are now. And Houston's run defense has been okay. Samuel, it's always two things. It's always like, well, what are they paying the player? And you put it in sort of that context. And then also, how good is the guy? And what at least this should mean is a greater target percentage for Kincaid and even for Coleman, I would think, maybe just obviously in this game. So Samuel can end up playing the same kind of small role or not. But Shakir has been the number one option so far, and Allen will not have him.
I just think looking at how Houston has looked so far this year, and especially last week against Jacksonville, I feel like you can do business down the field on this team. So missing a part of your passing game, even in my view, maybe the key element of your passing game, the timing's pretty tough.
Sal Capaccio next, Football Friday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. If you missed it, by the way, the Sabres game appears to be on again.
Super duper.
If you want to relive it or just watch it for the first time, maybe you don't know what happened, you just tuned in. There it is over there on MSG. Sal Capaccio joins us now. The Bills on their way tomorrow to Houston. The rare 1 p.m. Sunday kickoff here for the Bills in Week 5. And like we've talked about this week and with our guest Sam Panayotovich earlier from BetQL. The line is kind of ping-pong back and forth, a point either way, but considered pretty much an even matchup here, Bills and Texans. Sal, I know this morning you and we all together found out the Bills have a couple of other key injury losses here now with Ed Oliver. We talked about him yesterday getting hurt in practice. Khalil Shakir out all week and also ruled out for this game on Sunday. I asked Bulldog earlier, how about you? Which loss is bigger?
I would say Khalil Shakir. Ed Oliver is a really disruptive force sometimes in the middle of the defense, but he's a rotational player. He plays a lot. And this is not the Baltimore Ravens. This is a team that actually has struggled a little bit to run the ball. What you're missing from Ed Oliver, not having him, is interior penetration. But I think Khalil Shakir, you only have five healthy receivers, and there's questions already right now on those guys and getting separation and catching the ball and distribution, and now you're missing your number one. I mean, that's your number one wide receiver right now you're out. So I think Khalil Shakir is a bigger deal.
I think, yeah, that was my answer too, Sal, especially considering Houston's, I see a team that I believe can be exploited down the field. And so losing Shakir, I think, is going to really sting and could even, you know, hamper that. The other part about Oliver, though, is that they're already down Austin Johnson too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's
that's true.
Another,
I mean, if you take the sum of everything, I would think, and Von Miller, obviously, right?
Right, on
the edge.
Sure.
So, I mean, if you take the sum of the position, obviously the trickle-down effect, like losing Ed Oliver, just compounds a problem. But individually, I think that losing Khalil Shakir, but positionally too, guys, I mean, look, but you can also, they signed Zion Logue. I don't know what he can bring to you, if he's going to be active or not. They can elevate Ilyanku or Branson Dean. I mean, these guys are, you know, bigger bodies that can help out a little bit, and they have some experience playing in the NFL. Cameron Klein, obviously, or Kingsley Jonathan, guys like that, you know, can come up.
Yeah.
I mean, you could elevate KJ Hamler. You could elevate Tyrell Shavers. I think that, you know, the drop off to what you're getting to the next guy from Khalil Shakir is a little bit more of a question mark overall. Although, one for one, it might just be Curtis Samuel for Shakir, but then what happens in what Samuel would normally do? You know what
right,
I mean?
Sure. There's got to be some kind of trickle down there. Yeah, maybe this ends up being the game where we go, thank God they signed Curtis Samuel, because so far this year it's been, you know, really not much at all so far. I'd say almost shockingly so.
Yeah, in fact, Sean McDermott said something like that. I read earlier, it was on Catherine Fitzgerald of the Buffalo News on her Twitter, and she had the quote. Let me read it, because after he did his radio appearance with me on the Extra Point Show, he then meets with the Buffalo local media, and she wrote, on Khalil Shakir's injury, Sean McDermott said, quote, "We're thankful we have Curtis."
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty interesting quote right there from the head coach.
Let me hop back to the defensive tackle position, because Dwayne Carter, third-round pick.
The Chiefs trade.
Yeah. How has that gone so far? Really, the only time I noticed him so far this year, and, you know, I'm not one of these film breakdown guys, okay, but just watching the games, was him sort of, in my view, maybe celebrating a little too much about making a tackle against Baltimore when the game was already pretty out of hand. I saw, like, somebody sort of celebrating a tackle down close to the goal line. Like, who's that? Calm down. Oh, the rookie. That doesn't have to stick to him, but I didn't like it. What do you think they have in that player, and what has he shown you, if anything, so far this year?
Yeah, he's only played 31% of the defensive snaps, so he hasn't been in all that much. But, you know, again, a rotational piece that they use. Hasn't really flashed that much for me necessarily, but he did, except for that one play, like you said. And I noticed he celebrated. I mean, you know, he's a rookie. He just made a big play in a Sunday night national TV game, so I guess the juices are flowing. I totally understand, you know, maybe a little bit excessive considering the score at the time or what was going on. You know, this is a guy, I think, that, to me, he's going to play a long time in this league. I think he's got kind of the tools. His floor is pretty high. I don't know how high his ceiling, though, is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how productive he's going to be when you look at the end of the day on the stat sheet. He's not going to jump off necessarily, but he's probably going to be a solid producer who you can rely on to do the job. Last week, someone, you know, tweeted at me how undersized he is. And I went and looked and said, he's not really. I mean, he's probably, you know, undersized for an average defensive tackle. He is shorter than what you'd probably want. I mean, he's 6'2". A lot of times your D tackles are 6'3", 6'4". But Ed Oliver's even, you know, not even that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's over 300 pounds. And really, I mean, in today's NFL,
you're going to have kind of you're going to have a lot of bigger guys, but they're going to be kind of situational guys. Really, a lot of the more the linemen you're seeing now, defensive linemen, a little bit more of an undersized athletic type, which we've talked about is maybe one of the reasons why you know teams are running a little bit more these days as well. So I don't think he's super undersized. I mean, he's a little bit shorter, like I said, and I think that he's got to use that to his advantage. But this is a team, again, this is not the Baltimore Ravens. They're not going to just body you up and try to bully you. This is a team that maybe a Dwayne Carter could have a little bit more of an impact against.
I want to get back to some of these individual situations the Bills have, but since you said that, Sal, what are the Texans then? I mean, they're definitely hyped. Stroud was phenomenal, and Collins leads the league in receiving yards. Diggs is Diggs. There is a lot to like about the Texans, but how high is the ceiling for you? How good a team is this?
They're not as good as I thought they'd be right now. I thought they'd be a lot better. I mean, I shouldn't say it. They're 3-1, right? I had a lot of like, oh my God, the Texans are going to be a real problem in the AFC for a while after last year and most of last year. I just think C.J. Stroud is fantastic, and I still do think that. But, you know, if you go back and look at some of the games last year, I think that, you know, their schedule was not quite as tough. They struggled a couple of times and had a nice couple of wins at ends of games. Even this year, they go to Minnesota and just get absolutely pounded. And there's been last week against Jacksonville, they really just let the Jags hang around and almost lost that game at the end. So I think there's some flaws there. I just can't pick up heart like, oh my God, they're really bad here. It seems like they have a nice roster. They've done a really good job with the front seven to kind of rebuild that after being really bad there for a couple of years. And Will Anderson Jr. comes over and Danielle Hunter, you know, gets signed as a free agent. Obviously, they have a lot of weapons, right? We know that. But it seems like they're a team that's last year, maybe you know, pushing the ball down the field, some big plays. They've done that a couple times this year, but now it seems like it's just more of a little, more of a grind it, you know, get there and try and score, and then they're really kind of, you know, it reminds me of last year a lot with the Bills guys, how the Bills would move the ball, and then something bad would happen. They'd have a penalty, they'd have a turnover, they'd have a sack, and that's kind of what has happened here with the Texans a little bit on offense.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how this matchup unfolds, Sal, because the Bills have been so good. They're the outside corners here, Benford and Douglas, have been excellent. You know, big plays down the field is, you know, the Bills' expertise is taking those away. So, you know, but the middle could be dicey, and maybe that's where Diggs comes in. He's worked a lot in the slot so far for Houston. So, like you're saying, kind of more dink and dunk than down the field. And maybe that'll be available to them with the Bills still compromised to some extent in the middle, although, I don't know, I guess we can get to Bernard and Taron Johnson here and how optimistic we should be here 2 days out for either of them to play. I mean, they could be big difference makers if, you know, fit.
I am as or more optimistic on Terrell Bernard. I don't know if I could get any more. I kind of believed all week he's going to play, so I don't know if you can get more optimistic than that. I'd be surprised if he didn't play, I guess, really surprised. I'm more optimistic on Taron Johnson after today than I had been all week. I really thought that it was going to be, okay, you know, we're going to hear on Friday that he's not going to play like they did with Terrell Bernard last week. That wasn't the case. He's questionable. He truly is, you know, it's possible that he could play, and we'll see what they decide to do there. So, yeah, I mean, even getting just Terrell Bernard back would be a really big boost for this defense in the middle of the defense. And, you know, Bill Inspector made a few nice plays. He's, you know, he had the sack of Lamar Jackson. But the defense is just different with Terrell Bernard, because when you have that one piece in the middle that is high IQ, captain, as good as he is at both the run game and, you know, coverage, it just lets everybody else kind of settle into their roles better, right? And we've talked about, and I have, how that's not Bill Inspector. Bill Inspector he's almost more of a throwback traditional middle linebacker, right? Like, he has some athleticism. He's not Terrell Bernard. He's a go straight ahead, more make the tackle kind of guy, more of a throwback kind of guy. That is also a little bit what Dorian Williams is, but Dorian Williams is super fast. He can get sideline to sideline, but he's really see ball, get ball. And if you have two of those guys together, it does kind of really put you at a disadvantage in a lot of situational football that the other team wants to play. When you have Terrell Bernard, you can have him kind of doing his thing, and then Dorian Williams, it's a little bit easier to allow him to kind of play his game a little bit more free. So I do think that it's a big boost if they get Terrell Bernard back, and I think it is trending, you know, that way. Also in the middle of the field, though, no Taylor Rapp. We know that. It's going to be really interesting, guys. I'm excited to see Cole Bishop in his first NFL start.
Me too.
Right? I mean, we could learn a lot from Cole Bishop. And, Mike, this game, depending on his performance, could say something about how much time he gets going forward, to be honest.
Yeah, earlier I'm asking about the two new injuries, and I'm thinking to myself, maybe that's the biggest one because of Nico Collins' highlights flashing in my head. And is this guy ready for this particular test? It's not like you're saying, I agree, the worst matchup for the Bills for who they are. But there is big play potential. Houston doesn't seem to really care about how many safeties, where if your safeties are in the parking lot or not. Like they're gonna go for it, which makes me like them. Sal Capaccio on the West Hur Hotline. I don't mean so much in this game. I just in general. Football Friday brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Back to Samuel for a minute. What is your explanation for how little he's produced? It's two catches for 12 yards on average per game, so 8 for 48. Is it injury related? Is it just that they don't have room for what else they're doing? Is it defensible that he hasn't played more or done more?
I don't have a great explanation. I can only guess. Let me rephrase that even. I don't know the explanation. I'm wondering as well. And my guess is that the injury could have some sort of impact, but he's not been on the injury report. So that means that he's not even seemed like he's fine there.
Yep.
So the only thing I can go to is opportunity. And he's not been on the field all that much, snap count-wise. So if you're not on the field, you're not going to get as much opportunity. I really don't know, guys. I don't know exactly what's going on there. Defensible? No, I think that's the two things that I can't kind of wrap my head around with what has happened here for the first few weeks are, number one, why hasn't Curtis Samuel played more? Why hasn't he been more productive? I was really excited about that free agent signing. I think he is a really good football player, and he could help this offense. I do think this week is going to be a week where he needs to be that. He needs to be a good football player who helps this offense. The other one is Mike Edwards and the fact that he can't even get a jersey now. I mean, now, obviously, I would think this week might be different because Taylor Rapp is out. Mike Edwards, Sean McDermott said they signed him to be a starter. He's inactive. He's a healthy scratch. So those are two, to me, free agents who, if you had asked me, like, which free agents could make the most impact, I think on each side of the ball, I would have said probably, Curtis Samuel and Mike Edwards. And yet here, either of them are not really doing much at all. And in Edwards' case, he's not even playing.
Seeing as how he's going to be in the crosshairs here come Sunday, Sal, how about just a little refresher on what and who exactly Cole Bishop is? Like, what are his strong traits? What are the things to maybe watch out for? Like, how can he be manipulated or exploited by Houston?
Well, listen, they're going to try to, I'm sure, they're going to try to play games with him and trick him or fool him, right? I mean, he's a young safety. He's getting his first start in the NFL. There's no doubt about that. This is a guy that is not afraid of contact. He's going to come downhill. He's going to hit you. His biggest advantage, I think, coming in from the standpoint of what I just said about trying to confuse, though, is he played in a complex offense defense at Utah. That was, when he came out, a lot of people wondered, like, well, can he handle the Bills' scheme? He handled a very tough scheme at Utah. And I think that that has probably been good for him to kind of get in here now and probably understand some concept he has seen before, he's learned before in some capacity. But it's going to be a different game. They're going to play games with him. He's a physical guy who can make plays athletically, obviously. I think he's kind of an all-around safety like that. He's more in the mold of a Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer than he would be maybe a Damar Hamlin. So I think that's really good. It's a kind of that safety that they've liked to have. But I do think because he's young, that he's going to get tested early. He's going to get tested with confusion and to see if they can put him in a bind to try and go attack him.
So the big question, what do we get from Stephon Diggs? And I mean, like, before the game, are there handshakes? Is it chilly?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's cordial.
I would be stunned if it's not, Mike, to be honest with you. I mean, if it's not, then wow, like, okay, here we go, right? Like, yeah, I remember couple weeks ago before, the Bills played the Jags and Gabe Davis. And so the game was at 7:30. Gates opened at 5:30 for fans. There was no fans in there. So it had to be 4:30, 5 o'clock, somewhere in that area. And there's Gabe on the field, and here comes Josh. And sure enough, he just makes a beeline, walks right up to him. You know, they do the hand slap and bro hug and how's everything going? And Josh made a funny gesture to the camera. It was like, get away, and kind of walked away playfully and came back to him. And it was all love, right? I mean, that's what they gave to each other, no doubt about it. Same thing with Mitch Morris. You wouldn't expect anything less there. I don't expect anything less with Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen or a lot of other players, to be quite honest with you. It seems like it's been very cordial on both sides ever since he's gone. Both players have been asked a lot about, you know, that relationship, where that stands. Neither has said anything derogatory about the other team or the other players. It seems like everything's kind of been on script, whether that's just because you want to keep it on script or you fully, you know, have this unbelievable love for each other. Whatever it is, at least that's the way it's being played out here, and I don't expect any different on Sunday morning.
I can't believe I'm about to ask this, but like railroad signals are going off as I'm about to ask this. Uh-oh. I think it's just such an asinine thing to ask, but when he greeted Davis, was there the special handshakes, the individual handshakes that he has with the guys on his team and that he would have had with Davis and Diggs, or was it just a standard, you know, hey, good to see you greeting? Because I think it would be a real power move by Allen if Diggs went in for the special handshake and Allen's like, you're not on my team anymore.
Ooh. Ooh.
Okay, so from what I remember, it was just the regular handshake. I don't think we all would have noticed if it was the the super secret deal that they did at practice all the time.
I saw it too.
No one had that on video.
I saw it too. Like, I was in the booth looking down on the field when these guys met, and it was just very friendly.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, that to me, not that it has to mean anything, but to me, like, I don't know if I would assume it would be that friendly Sunday, but, you know, I'm asking you if there'll be anything, and you're like, yeah, there'll be something.
I think so. I mean, there's a possibility. I guess, to me, it would probably, if there was anyone that says, I'm just not going to do that, I'm in game mode, that would be more on Stephon's side, because we've already seen this from the other side, and we know that, you know, the Bills and Josh Allen and Gabe Davis or anybody else, but I still would be pretty surprised if that wasn't the case, if we didn't see them get together, say hello, hey man, how's everything going, all right, good luck today, talk to you later.
You know, I tend to just sort of almost entirely dismiss motivation stuff in pro sports, you know, game to game. It necessarily implies that teams are unmotivated, relatively unmotivated for other games. They don't have like a personal grudge or some sort of revenge to enact. Like, oh, well, the Baltimore game, maybe the Bills just didn't care that much, which I do not see sports that way. But I do want to just ask about the possibility or how it might manifest in this game with Diggs, mm-hmm. who is always so supercharged emotionally anyway. And if he, you know, can take that to a higher level, I don't know, like he's going to want to, and maybe you want to expect that. And then the Bills, maybe it's not the same for them playing against him. Just what might you think, how might you think this particular storyline matters?
I like this subject a lot. Go ahead, Sal.
I actually think, Mike, that it matters on both sides. When you just ended that with, not that it matters much for the Bills. No, I think there's people on the Bills that would really are going to relish, you know, an opportunity to go against him and maybe stop him. That would be my
stop him
here.
And also just outplay his team. Like, I think Allen. This is like I'm worried about Allen being too revved up, because Diggs is the central figure, and Allen is overrated, I think, right? Like, he's the genesis of that to a large extent. Now he's gone. Let's see what Allen can do. And I, you know, even though he's not playing on that side of the ball, I would think Allen would love. Of course, like Mike said, he'd always love to have a 350-yard, 4-touchdown game. I think in this spot, man, I don't want to say I'm expecting it, but geez, I would bet he's really fired up for this.
I wouldn't doubt it. I think part of the reason Josh Allen won AFC Offensive Player of the Month, though, is because he's been the opposite of that. He's been calm and collected, right? He threw the ball, obviously, the one against Baltimore, which was amazing. But really, he's been in control and under control. So you hope, like you said, well, like, you don't get too hyped up, right, and become Josh Allen from the 2019 game down in Houston in the playoffs.
Right.
Nothing like that. I'm even talking about more from a defensive side. I mean, Christian Benford has been here 2 years covering Stephon Diggs at practice, and Taron Johnson has, and Rasul Douglas was here. Rasul Douglas is a pretty emotional guy. He can get into it. He had the finger wag after the Gabe Davis play, remember, you know, when they played a couple of weeks ago, right? And I'll tell you guys, I mean, you know, you're always looking for an advantage, right? And Mike, you hit the nail on the head. He's super emotional. I guarantee you they're talking about ways to get under his skin. Like, yeah, if you do this or that, like, you can throw him off his game and get under his skin a little bit. He's going to get upset. He might bark at the sidelines. But they become it becomes a story for them. Let's make sure, like, that can happen. I'm expecting that. And then from Diggs' side, oh, my gosh, yeah, of course, he would love. I think, actually, even somewhat, not so much him personally, he would love it. I bet you the Texans want to get him a touchdown. Like,
sure.
I think the Texans will do what they can, and they get in the red zone. It's like, okay, we got Stephon Diggs curling up at the goal line, hit him for a pass.
They'd
and
be,
get 6 points.
To me, stupid to not try to plug into him for this
exactly.
game.
Exactly.
Like, I'm thinking of instances when he was with the Bills where Diggs would sort of like Marshawn Lynch would say, right? Like, go through a you-know-whatter's face, right? Like, Diggs, there was a few times. The Bengal game, even, that ended when Hamlin got injured so severely as he did. Like, the first possession of that game for the Bills, Diggs, like, went right at one of the cornerbacks. Like, I'm not going out of bounds. I'm not trying to juke you. I am going through you all night.
Yeah.
And I would bet Diggs gets a chance to do that to Benford or Douglas or Cam Lewis or whomever. He is absolutely going to do it.
I would probably agree there. I would agree, and I think the opposite is true. I think if those guys have a chance to show them that they're here to play football, and you're not my teammate anymore, and I want to show that, you know, we can do this without you, and you're on the other side, and you're the enemy. I think that is also the case.
Brace yourselves for H-Town alternate uniforms. Oh, by the way, if you haven't seen this,
those are atrocious.
Kind of an old English H is the helmet. Like, sort of a dark metallic blue look with red numbers. It's still their colors, but just a different look for the Texans.
And the Bills are wearing their all whites.
Yes. Makes sense.
Guaranteed win.
Bulldog loves the white pants, even after Labor Day. Sal, thank you. Have a nice time down there.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.
I do think about the
Labor Day rules.
I do.
Very important.
I was supposed to play the guitar at a show in Zor Valley on Labor Day Sunday, and I thought,
if this show were 2 days later,
it's not Labor Day yet.
It's not Labor Day yet.
Here come the white pants. I'm bringing the white pants out to Zor Valley. All right. Anyway, sales appearance, by the way, with us, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
You guys ready for Stephon Diggs Sunday? Bills Texans, let us know what you expect. The Shakir and Oliver injuries. The Bills, again, have a list here of key men that they'll not have for their Week 5 game in Houston. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog Football Friday continues. This is WGR. Contest time, 716-221-4WGR, 4947. Caller 5 wins a pair of tickets to see comedian Mr. Derek at Rob's Playhouse Theater tomorrow night. Or tomorrow, I'm not sure if it's at night. Mr. Derek was recently featured on the Joe Rogan Experience. He is one of the fastest rising comedians in the country. Here is your chance to win a pair of tickets. Visit robsplayhousetheater.com for details. I mean, there's a hockey game at 10 a.m., so...
Right, who knows? But yeah, I mean...
I insist that I saw a graphic last week for this upcoming Miami-Cal game that said 10 a.m., but it's 10 p.m.
Yes, or 10:30 even, yeah.
Or 10:30.
Yeah.
I insist that I saw a.m. because I immediately looked at it like, why?
Miami is at Cal at 10 a.m. That's weird.
Yeah, is the game sort of at Cal, but not really? Like, it's in Prince Edward Island, actually, or something? Why would they play at 10:30 in the morning in Pacific time? But it's not.
Yeah.
So I'm saying it was somebody's mistake, not mine. Because why would I have ever wondered?
I'll buy that. Yeah.
You see 10, it's going to be at night.
Yeah.
Of course, with the Sabres tomorrow.
Especially with one of the teams represented on the graphic being from California.
Yeah. I've stood on that field.
At Cal?
Yeah, Berkeley.
All right.
We were there, I don't know, Marshawn Lynch maybe was still on the team, or he'd just been drafted by the Bills somewhere in that time frame. And just driving around Berkeley for the first time in my life with my wife, and we got to the football stadium and just parked, and let's get out, look at it. But that, like, you know, kind of a
so to speak, a Zamboni entrance, you know, mm-hmm. like a tractor entrance was wide open, and we just walked right through it and onto the field and took pictures from midfield.
I love when that happens. Like, there's nobody around you. Like, I don't know, should we do this? Well, let's just
what's
go.
The worst
what's
going to
happen? What's going to happen? I'm going to say, get out of here. I mean, I don't know. They're probably not going to cuff you.
Well, eventually, we will leave anyway.
Right.
So
right.
we're not looking to move in. We yeah. just want to stay in at the 50 for a minute.
Do you remember me telling you about the experience I had that was similar to that? This will be quick. At the Las Vegas Motor Speedway?
Yes, I do.
We were there. We're watching like dirt track. It's a whole comp. There's a drag strip and a smaller dirt track, and we were watching the dirt track racing on like the Friday or Saturday night that we were out there for the whole weekend for drag racing. And we were leaving to go get dinner, and there was like a gate was open, and then another gate was open, and then there was a tunnel onto the racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
And we drove. I wasn't driving. I was a passenger. We drove the rental car in there and like parked in the pits and got out and just stood there like, nobody stopped us. We're on pit road in a, you know, whatever, a Dodge, Dodge Stratus probably, right? Is that the Will Ferrell Saturday Night Live car? Yeah, we're on pit road in a Dodge Stratus, rent a car. Looking around, there's nobody there. Should we go take a lap on the track? Came up, and we were like, no, definitely not. That would be pushing it. We're here. This is incredible. Let's all just take it in for a minute. I went and sat mm-hmm. on the finish line and took some pictures, and then we got in the car and got out of there without trying to drive our Dodge Stratus through the banked curves of Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
That would have been a move.
Yeah. Not that they're super banked, but still, it's a racetrack. It was wild.
One more of these, the most recent one of these for me, is the football stadium at West Point. And I was there with my son last summer. And Ross Tucker had been talking about whether that was his favorite stadium, or I know he had done games there. It was at one point with us, kind of, I remember him sort of raving about it. And he and I, my son and I, are driving around the West Point campus, and got out, walked into the stadium, and the field had been removed. It was all just stones. Mm. But I know that from the opposite side from where we were, you can see out over the Hudson River
right.
from like the top levels of that stadium, if not all of it. And that's got to be pretty good.
That's why Ross raves about it. Like, the setting is just spectacular.
The setting, yes.
I think I watched a game from there earlier this year because I was just cruising through the guide and I saw somebody at Army and I went, oh, I wonder if Ross. And it was some other dude doing the game. And they're like, that stadium is being overhauled. There was like a lot of construction. Like, the view of the river was all just was cranes and like new bleachers and stuff, I think, getting built. But anyway, still pretty cool to see it like you did before all that.
They must be thriving.
Yeah. Right.
Amazing. College football is actually, they're doing well, it seems. Just build new stadiums and upgrades. I tend to be very cynical about college football. I don't spend a lot of time sort of thinking negatively about it. I just have kind of lost touch with it, lost interest. And all the player movement, even it started with coaches doing the same thing, but all the player movement, it's just too much for me. I can't have that from college football. It's not a principal thing. I'm not objecting. It was hard enough with so many teams
and
conferences and like there's so much material. And now all the conferences are mixed up. All the players are playing for different teams every year. And I have to take a pass on that.
Yeah, I mean, how many times a game does someone describing the play say, you know, the catch by so-and-so who formerly was at Mississippi? Like, it's just like every guy is from some other college now, besides the college they're actually playing for then. That, you know, they don't do it all the time, but it happens a lot.
It happens a lot, and I don't know. It's a lot to digest. So we've talked about these Bills injuries here. Not insignificant what they've got to deal with. Joe Mixon will miss the game for Houston, and I think that's good for Houston. Because if they feel that running the ball is not as going to be as effective, I think that that's probably good for them. You know, of course, if there's a pass rush here and you get Bernard or Douglas or one of these guys who has the touch for it to come up with a takeaway or two, then, you know, you're probably fine.
Yeah.
If not, I think you're in tough.
I agree with the premise there. I was sort of rooting for Mixon And I guess I'll assume to some extent he would have been less than 100% with the way the week was going. Like if he'd missed Wednesday and gotten back Thursday, limited, today limited, he's questionable, and he's going to go. Be like, okay, good. You're like, you, A, you're probably not 100%. B, you got handed it, what, 30 times in the opener and scored three touchdowns, and they're not doing it well. They're probably going to try to establish that. And I, especially off of what Baltimore did to the Bills last weekend, I would welcome that. I would rather have that. And you know, even if the Bills give up 4.5 yards a carry, I would still feel like that's where I'd want to be. So without him there, I kind of doubt that they do that. I'm sort of with Sam. We had Sam Pettianovich on earlier today. Said like it's 35-40 throws for Stroud, and that's what I think the recipe looks like to me without mixing there.
Devontae Adams, want to weigh in on the tweet or the Instagram picture of Edgar Allan Poe? What are we doing with it? I need to know. I might see people this weekend who are going to ask me how to read into it, and I don't want to have to answer before talking to you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your faith in leaning on me in this matter.
Is he going to Baltimore?
I think he wants to go to Baltimore. That's what I would take that to mean. I don't know if he's going to Baltimore, but I felt like that was, hey, no one's saying Baltimore. I mean, you know, if he's paying attention, I'm hearing about, of course, the Jets. I'm hearing about the Saints because of Derek Carr. I've heard the Bills. I've heard the Steelers. Nobody's talking about the Ravens. I like purple. Here's a nice picture of Edgar Allan Poe. That's what I took.
I wonder if Adams is a fan.
Of the writer. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of us read those stories in school when we were kids, right? So maybe.
Pretty dark, right?
Telltale Heart.
Telltale
is the
Heart.
One I really remember the most. I don't think I don't remember reading The Raven. It's possible that I did, but I don't remember it. But Telltale Heart is the one that always got me.
Yeah, like Adams tweeting that, or not tweeting, Instagram, like showing that picture, what does he know? You're saying he might not know anything. He just wants it.
Right.
That's his new crush.
Right.
Of an idea. But does he know something that, like, it's not up to him.
It's possible he does know something.
I like the fit. I mean, Baltimore for me has made sense in this. They're a team that I include in consideration. Just even despite what they did to the Bills. They've lost two games. And they're not going to be able to do that to everybody just to have a weapon like that that, and it doesn't contradict anything about who they are, really. Like, you want to have good receivers.
Sure.
They have Flowers, and that's still kind of it. With Andrews not catching passes anymore, maybe that's over. Maybe that's just on hold. But they could use him.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bills could use him, too. But for the Bills, it would do that other thing. It would contradict so much of what they've built and stood for, talked about this year. So that's why I don't expect, that's one reason why I don't expect them to make this move. But that would not be true of the Ravens or really all the other teams, you know. The Bills, it was just such a sea change. And an Adams trade, like we've talked about a couple times this week, would contradict kind of how they've talked and what they have done here with the roster. So that's why I don't see it.
Right. I've mentioned, I think, at one point this week that the timing of this Adams story coinciding with the Bills' visit to go see Diggs and the Houston Texans is it's impossible to miss. I mean, it's interesting or some other word I can't think of right now. I think in a sidecar now with that is that Khalil Shakir, who of course is not Stephon Diggs, and no one is saying he's Stephon Diggs, but he has been their leading receiver here through four games and was my pick to be their leading receiver for the season. And so now He also was the only receiver on the team that had caught a pass from Josh Allen in a regular season game, discounting the tight ends and the running backs here, okay? So now the only receiver who's ever caught a pass from Josh Allen in regular season games is not playing in the game where they're going to play the best wide receiver they had for the past four seasons. Tough one.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Football Friday. Picks at 6. We'll go around the league in a dash first after this break on WGR.
Football Friday continues here on WGR. Bills and Texans, 1 o'clock Sunday. The Sabres play their second game of the season tomorrow morning, pregame at 9, and then 10 o'clock face-off against New Jersey. Revenge game for today's
I get them loss. Back. I get them back.
Levi?
100%.
Right?
I think, short of Lukanen, I mean, just shooting Roman candles out of his you-know-what today, you were going to get Levi anyway. It's not only back-to-back. It's back-to-back, and it's, you know, whatever, 5 hours earlier than the game was today, or four, whatever it is.
Three.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you. For some reason, I couldn't remember what time today's game started at.
You got into it, and I just felt like you wanted it.
I did. Thank you. Okay. I was stumbling around.
Okay.
So it's a quicker turnaround, so I'd be stunned if it's not Devin Levi.
I like the brown pads.
Yeah, me too. It's a good look.
Classic.
And look, I'm not going to – it's crazy. It's one game. You know, if Levi's looking for an opportunity, the door's cracked
here
a little.
Here we go.
Lukanen did not look sharp to me. He was very sloppy. He was technically very loose. And that, to me, was the biggest thing that changed in his game last year was control, largely from strength. Like, he just was able to be where he needed to be more quickly because he was stronger, and you're just more in control. And I just thought he was really sloppy today. So.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's a nice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Need a Lukanen step back here.
No!
They don't, and I don't, because it's just the mindless conversations about goalies and randomness that you have to have every single time when a guy who shows up with a good season and then he doesn't have the same season after that and it's like, should not be the least bit surprising. Not say that I'm not predicting it for Luukkonen. The hope is that he did move up a level. He had a great season and can stay there. But I mean, every time we have to have the same, not you and I, but the same conversation about goaltending. Like, it's not surprising. It's to be expected more so when you see that sort of variance. Around the league in a dash, brought to you by Dash's Markets. Celebrating 100 years, shop the family of finer foods. I mean, I don't know what you want. We've got picks coming up, but there are just a slew of injuries around the league. Midweek stuff like we had with Oliver, but you know, in fantasy, you've just got tons of it. Kittle is back to questionable. He was out and then returned. Devin Singletary will miss for the Giants. That means Tyrann Tracy probably is their running back for that game if you need somebody to pick up.
And so will Malik Nabers, if you didn't catch that.
Nabers is out.
Yeah. Not even traveling.
Zamir White, I think, was a practice injury for the Raiders. He has not been good, but they've ruled him out. And Davante Adams. So their game in Denver, they won't have those guys. There's just so much. Richardson for the Colts, questionable. I don't know what I think that means. Could he play?
I guess he could, but he'll probably leave again hurt.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, it's what he does. I mean, I don't know. He goes into games healthy and leaves hurt, so he's going in hurt. Maybe he'll play the whole thing if he goes in hurt. He's already injured, so he can't get injured again. I don't know. That makes no sense.
There's probably a faction there that wants him to sit.
And Jonathan Taylor's already out for that.
Taylor is out. Yeah. That happened in the game last week, so that's Trey Sermon, I guess, who I think is bad, but maybe it won't matter. Indianapolis to Jacksonville.
How about a minute on primetime Kirk from last night? 500 yards. 500 yards. And thanks for coming, Kyle Pitts.
Yeah. You know?
Son of a you-know-what.
I planted my flag. Do not start him.
Right.
I said, at least if he does stuff, you're going to be happy next week.
Yeah.
And now I'm just going to brace myself for 2-for-12 next week.
At least I didn't just take your advice. I'd already done it. Like, I'd already benched him. So I don't have any I wouldn't anyway, but I can't even pretend to have any animosity toward you. We decided that just independent of you and everything else. Just like, down with this guy.
I was relieved he didn't score.
Yeah.
Because then that's a really bad call.
Right.
If he goes 7-for-80 in a touchdown, that's a huge game. It's tight end this year. You hate to miss out on that. Whoever you're starting is almost definitely not giving you that. At least he didn't score, but good signs right away. Like the second play of the game.
Still 15 points, I think.
15 points, PPR. Totaled,
so that's pretty decent.
Cousins, first NFL quarterback in history to throw for 500 yards despite not throwing a single pass with the lead last night.
Wow.
They got ahead. But then the Bucs tied it.
He
never threw a pass with the Falcons ahead.
Right.
I was so happy. This happened I don't know if it's whether betting, but just quickly, in fantasy, when it's just like sort of a slot machine game, everything's going well, I wanted that tying field goal so badly. I was so happy. Didn't have a side in the game, but I was so happy that the Falcons got one more shot. I was mad that they blew the previous series when they had the ball with three minutes left down three. Got the second chance, got the field goal, just so excited for overtime. I wanted that game to go all night. You know, I could have stayed up all night watching that game had it kept going. First drive, it was over quickly, but great game. Picks after sports, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog Football Friday. This is WGR.
Looking forward to the weekend, Thursday, what's Thursday?
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog.
We so excited. We gonna have a ball today. Tomorrow is Saturday.
I mentioned inside. My liver's all twisted up. But you know what I did? I took Deborah, went to the liquor store. I loaded up with alcohol. More specifically, vodka, whiskey, beer, tequila. More beer, more vodka, more whiskey, and more beer.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Football Friday picks are back. Even the Sabres can't get in the way.
Sabres cannot.
They cannot stop us
from making our appointed rounds.
Yes.
That's right. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Well, what can I say? Last week went well.
You had a perfect week. That's better than just well. 3-2 is going well.
Yeah, 3-2 is fine.
Yeah. 5-0 is, I mean, put it on a plaque.
5-0. So North Carolina squeezed out a cover against Duke. Bengals, Bears, and two others. They did not pick Baltimore. I liked Baltimore. Yeah. Well, you know, you get lucky sometimes. Blind squirrel, et cetera, et cetera.
Thank you. Because I'm about to give the speech about how hard it is because I went 1-4.
1-4.
I'm having a terrible year so far.
It's rare.
I have not had the best week I've had so far is 3-3. And that was with the Thursday game mixed
mm-hmm,
in.
Mm-hmm.
That was week one. So I gotta get it together here. The pressure's on.
I'm feeling pressure to follow that.
There's really no pressure.
I'm feeling the pressure.
No stake.
Now I'm supposed to be good because my record is good, but I do not think of myself as good, and I'm all twisted. Just like that guy you just heard. His liver's all twisted up.
Oh, yeah. Well.
But you drink like that.
All those things at once.
What do you expect?
Although he doesn't necessarily say he's going to drink all those things at once. He's going shopping for all those things.
Yes. Good point. No baseball tonight? No. But everybody plays tomorrow?
Yeah.
Man, what do these teams do do not play all week?
The regular season in hockey kicked off, so there's probably a whole bunch of games.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Detroit-Cleveland at 1, Mets-Phillies at 4, Royals-Yanks 6:30, Padres-Dodgers 8:30 tomorrow.
There's some college football tonight. None of the games appealed to me to pick them, so I don't know any of the games, but there's four or five games tonight, I think.
And you know where I'll be, the curling,
the
Grand Slam in Charlottetown. Oh, it's so good. You would leave the room, but I just want to say it to the 10 people at the most probably that would have any interest. The format is unbelievable. I love the format.
Can you bet on it?
I think you can in Canada because the guys I'm watching on the stream refer to the live betting.
Okay.
I don't have it, but basically, and I don't know how if they seed everybody or what they do, 16 men's teams, 16 women's teams, but you start off, you play somebody, and basically the way they bracket it, the goal is to win three times before you lose three times. You lose one, they move you down like to a different level, mm-hmm. and you just, the way they have set that up, I think it's genius. I've never seen anything like it, but I want to figure out a way to make that a part of my life. That this 16-team format, win three before you lose three. Like if you had a ping pong tournament or something like that, you could do that. If you had all day. Because that would take all day.
Sure.
But
where is Charlottetown? So, Newfoundland?
PEI.
Okay, close. I don't know if that's really that close.
It's close. You know, it depends who you're talking to.
It's over there.
It's in the Maritimes.
It's over there, yeah.
It's an hour ahead. PEI is an hour ahead.
All right.
Newfoundland is an hour and a half.
I'm going to give myself a that's near Newfoundland then.
A half an hour. It takes more than a half an hour to get there.
That's not much.
I'm sure. Not that I've been. I've been in Nova Scotia. That's as far east as I've gotten.
Actually, that there's a time difference makes it probably not realistic that it's that close now that I think.
No, right?
Yeah.
Half an hour. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it was
a little weird.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Canada's
picks.
So stupid.
What if I did do it? Even though I admit to nothing and never will. What does that make me? And I'm not here just defending myself, but all those pickers out there who've been caught. Each and every one of them. Who has to suffer the shame and humiliation because of people like you.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Are we not human? If we pick, do we not bleed?
On WGR.
I am not an animal.
Sports Radio 550.
I do not have this memorized, but I'm pretty sure you're up by 5.5 games is where we're at in the standings on the year.
Okay. It's at least that. Because I know I was ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that might not be right. I think that is probably right. Because you didn't go 0-5.
No, you were like a half or a game and a half.
Something like that, yeah.
So you're 5.5.
Right in there, yeah. Okay. As our guest, Sam Panayotovich, told us earlier, he likes Washington over Michigan. I'm going to go with him this time. When I was a kid and these teams would play in the Rose Bowl, I think they probably did a couple times, I always liked Washington.
in the Rose Bowl. Just the uniforms. Seemed like a great place, cool vibes. Washington, and I never liked Michigan. I was raised in a Buckeye house. So this is just sort of, Sam likes it, I like it, let's go. Michigan to lose, Washington to beat Michigan. Whatever the line is, I don't have it. It's small, I think. I don't know it, but.
Oh, I can get it for you. If we need to keep track, you can keep moving here, and I'll tell you here in a second.
I don't like all the purple teams. I'm taking the Jets over the Vikings in London Sunday morning. Another morning game. Sabres tomorrow, NFL on Sunday. Jets plus 2.5. That is a Buster special. The Jets lose to Denver. Everybody's sort of not worried about them per se, but what's wrong? Do they need Devontae Adams? The Jet vibes are always this way. But for a minute, when they beat New England, okay, this is going well. And they go and lose 10-9 to the Broncos. Like, that's gross. And Minnesota, everybody loves Minnesota right now. Darnold, you know, go get him, Sam Darnold. It's a cool story. And maybe he's actually really good. But that's a tough test. And I always like a team where I think the public sentiment is going the opposite direction. So Jets plus 2.5, neutral site, Tottenham Stadium there against the Vikings.
Your line on Washington, Michigan is Washington minus 1.5.
I'll take it. Thank you. Could have said anything. I would have said yes. I will take...
Hang on. I read it wrong. It's actually minus 50. 15.
Denver minus 3 against the Raiders. What are the Raider vibes? And Denver's defense is possibly great. They're not doing anything offensively, but does that matter against the Raiders at home, minus 3? And I think there could be, you want to see some progress there eventually from Knicks. They've won 2 straight. Tampa was a nice win.
He made one nice throw against the Jets, and it won them the game.
That's maybe all it takes.
That's the only game I got right last week, by the way.
You had Denver against the Jets, yep. Yeah. So Denver minus 3 at home against the Raiders. That's pick 3. Pick 4, I'm going to go with Dallas on Sunday night at Pittsburgh, plus 2.5. I just think better team. And they have the bad injuries on defense now, but I don't think the Brandon Cooks injury means much. Whoever they want to have run the ball, it's not amounting to much, but their offense has been mostly good. And I just still do not like the Steelers. I like Fields as an idea, but I'd be pretty impressed, I think, if they were able to beat Dallas without it being one of these Dallas games you get sometimes. It always seemed to be in Dallas, but where they just implode. I'm going to go ahead and say that does not happen here, and they win outright, plus 2.5 at Pittsburgh. That's 4. I like the Ravens a little bit. I like the Packers a little bit. But for my 5th pick, I'll take Seattle, minus 7 at home against the Giants. Offense is humming. When they played Miami, I picked them, and I said, the Seahawks, you want them to be good. Can they just school Miami? And they did. You know, it was not a blowout, but they won the game easily. That could be this game. No neighbors.
Right.
The only passes go to neighbors, like in that offense. Nobody else. Wandale Robinson. I can't say nobody else. Robinson gets the underneath stuff. But neighbors has been great. Seattle does not have to deal with him, and that's probably big. Daniel Jones on the road at the Seahawks. I don't see it. So hoping that Seattle's offense kind of keeps rolling. 38 first downs against Detroit, and they cover the 7 against the Giants.
I'm with you on Seattle. I'm not picking them for this. They're my survivor pick. I'm back in the in the redo of Joe Ostrowski's survivor pool. So they're one of the win percentage wise, like they might have had maybe the biggest probability of any team on the schedule this week. I think
they are the Niners. I would think against Arizona. That's more of a
The Niner one was big too.
7.5.
And I thought with the injuries and stuff they've had, and you know, I don't know Arizona. I just didn't want to. I didn't trust it.
No, you're right. The line isn't as big as I thought. I'm thinking of last week when they were 10.5 points against the Patriots. That's another one I got last week.
All right. Well. You left me Sam Panayotovich's other college game he likes, and I like it too. Miami minus 10.5 at Cal. Love the quarterback, and I'm buying the whole thing here. Miami, I think they're going to be a top five
team all year, I think, with that QB. They really got away with one last week. I never even saw a replay of that Vatek Hail Mary that told me it wasn't a catch. But whatever, they spent an hour reviewing it. I'm exaggerating, I guess, a lot, and said no catch. So wild scene there last week, but Miami escaped. I think they'll get right on the road at Cal. I'm going to go against you and the Jets. It's on brand. The only game I won last week was picking against the Jets. I'll take Minnesota minus the 2.5 in London. I'm buying. I can't wait to get up and watch Brian Flores' defense make Aaron Rodgers look like a jackass. That's really all. I could stay out all night Saturday night drinking and still set my alarm and get up to watch that. I'm not going to spend, I'm almost 6 years old, I'm not going to spend all night Saturday drinking. I probably won't even need an alarm. I'll just wake up because I'm old. And I'm looking forward to watching Aaron Rodgers cry. That's my big hope. I will take the Bengals getting the 2.5 hosting Baltimore. Season on the line kind of vibes here. I know Pittsburgh is out front in that division, but I feel like these are the two teams to really watch out for there, and the Bengals can crawl into a tie here with the Ravens. Not exactly driver's seat. They're going to still have to track down Pittsburgh, but I trust one of them to do that, and I will take the Bengals. I don't know how they're going to stop Baltimore, really, but I'll just trust that they'll find their way to some points. Burrow's had some incredible games against that Baltimore defense. So I'll go with Cincinnati. I'm going to go against our buddy Sam. I'm going to take Washington minus 3 hosting the Browns. I just don't know. I know somebody this week said Watson played really well last week.
Yes.
I'm going to bet against that happening 2 weeks in a row. I don't feel like it matters that much how good Washington's defense is. I don't trust him, and Jaden Daniels looks fantastic. So, yes, big test, tough defense with Cleveland, but I'll take Washington at home minus the 3, and I'm going to run with the Bills plus 1.5 is what I've got at FanDuel right now. It's entirely vibes based, and I know the vibes, you could be shook by a lot of it. I am a little. Shakir worries me, him not being there.
You're shook here.
I'm shook. I'm shook over Shakir. I'm betting on Josh Allen to have his head right for this. I would guess that this game means an awful lot to him, and I would bet his teammates know it too. And so I just think everybody at their best. I think they're going to want to bring, look, Houston's going to be in the same boat. They're going to want to do right by their new guy here and get Diggs his. So, you know, they could be butting heads on this, but I'm betting on Allen on Sunday. So Bills getting 1.5 at Houston. There you go. Those are the picks.
That's been pretty safe betting on Josh Allen after losses. And he's had so many big road wins. So his numbers, what game was it where we were looking at, I guess maybe it was going into week one, where home favorite or touchdown favorite against the spread, like his numbers are kind of bad actually. His win-loss record, I mean, not his stats, although it might correspond. But in this spot, he seems like a safer bet. I'm just really curious, what a moment, opportunity this is for the Texans, right? Just like... Mm-hmm. Buffalo, it's not the Chiefs, but it's the next best thing for a chance to prove who you are. And these guys know, I think we all know, that they've been hyped like they have. Like they would know that. And they would want to embrace it, and they'd want to prove it, mm-hmm. that it's legit. And this is a game where you do that. The other game, every game they've played so far this year really isn't. Minnesota maybe could have been. Minnesota left a bad impression because they got trounced.
Yeah.
By the Vikings, but here's one where they can show that they're, you know, a top team, and that would just worries me a little bit for the Bills. I think they're walking into a team that has a lot to show. So will that mean they'll be at their best? Will it even matter if they're at their best? Not necessarily. Football Friday on WGR, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. start your game day the Crosby's way. There is a lot of injury news to talk about. We've talked about Shakir. Ed Oliver will miss. Taylor Rapp will miss. We'll see about Bernard and Taron Johnson, but the Bills have, you know, some key losses here.
Real quick, just got an email. Billy Shaw, Hall of Famer, Bill from the AFL title years, has passed away.
I'm still watching. That's really sad. I'm still watching that AFL documentary. Maybe this would be a reason for somebody who hasn't seen that to do it.
Yeah.
Full Color Football. It's five episodes. It's all on YouTube for free. And Shaw is in it. So there's so much Bills in it. I mean, back-to-back league champs in
right.
the AFL. Mid-60s right. in the AFL. And Shaw, I mean, Hall of Famer, you said it.
Right.
I don't think he played for another team. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
I don't think you're wrong. I'm scanning through here to try to see if it says how old he was.
85.
Oh, thank you. I didn't see it here. I don't see reference to any other team on here.
Never played for another team. Right. 61 to 69. Started almost every game for the Bills, like almost their entire AFL history. Well, sorry to hear that. We talked to Sal about these injuries and the matchup with the Texans. We'll have that for you coming up. Right now it's time for a break. We'll be back in a snap with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com